Do you like listening to Funny You Should Mention? Maybe you're saying, of course I do. That's why I clicked on this podcast. And maybe you're saying, I don't know yet. This is the first time I've clicked on this podcast. But however much you enjoy listening to Funny You Should Mention, and for me it's a lot, watching it, well, that's a feast for the senses. We tape every episode of Funny You Should Mention, me and the comic at the Comedy Cellar Studios. And we have those videos available for you in the Gist's YouTube channel. That's at PescaGist, or just go to the search engine of YouTube and type in Funny You Should Mention. How about a little click in the show notes, which we will also provide, should you care to watch the hilarity, which shall henceforth ensue. It's Friday, April 18th, 2025, from Peachfish Productions. It's The Gist. I'm Mike Pesca. And today is a Funny You Should Mention day. We have TJ Miller on. But I thought I should mention something not funny, although, more in the category of annoying. The most annoying development as relates Trump and the courts. It's not the most important. That's about Abrego Garcia, who's still detained in El Salvador. And it's not the most egregious thing Trump has done regarding Abrego Garcia, that is to commandeer the White House Twitter feed and just mock the idea that this guy, who was improperly, even the administration admits, improperly deported, will ever come back. So that's enough to get you a little down. But here was the story I want to talk about. And this actually isn't in the Gist list today. There's many other items to feast upon, including an ICE-related item, because the head of ICE says he wants deportations to work like Amazon Prime. But in this story, I'm going to highlight as the most annoying of the day, a judge denied the Associated Press request to get back in on the White House press pool. You may remember, this is what makes it intrinsically stupid and annoying, the AP excluded from the White House press pool because they refused to call the Gulf of Mexico the Gulf of America. Good reason, great reason. But the judge, U.S. District Judge Trevor McFadden, said, I'm not going to micromanage the White House. I suppose, understand where he's coming from. There are some decisions where you could say, you know, you violated federal law, and some decisions where you could say, this is your call, and then maybe you have to deal with the consequence. But then McFadden also went on to say, and this is what I find annoying, I think they, meaning the White House, are entitled to a presumption of good faith in their actions. I do not know. I can understand maybe on January 20th, 1205, they enjoyed that presumption, but though probably not a presumption. You could say, you know, thinking back to January 6th, you could say, all right, maybe right there in the beginning, let's not presume bad faith. But wouldn't one, a judicious-minded person, allow the accrual of evidence to erode said presumption of good faith? I'm not saying a judge has to come out and say they are operating in bad faith. You could just drop it. You could just drop the idea of if there's good faith or bad faith there and go on the actual evidence, as I think a judge should be wont to do. But as I said, on the show today is TJ Miller. He is frenetic. He is fascinating. He is frantic. We get into how his brain works. More so than most Funny You Should Mentions, a ton of neuroscience in this episode, because what's going on in those lobes of TJ is actually quite fascinating. A man beloved as Ehrlich on Silicon Valley, then apparently reviled by some creators of the show. A man who has played more cartoon characters, including cartoon mucus, than I have. Okay, than me. I will say that. And I should also mention, we have a full-size, overstuffed version of this. I like to keep it tight right here on the Gist feed. The Funny You Should Mention specific feed, about 17 more minutes. The video, same thing, because TJ brought by his hot sauce and his peanut butter and an overly flexible spoon thwarted the enjoyment of some of that peanut butter. But it's all good content. A little bit of TJ goes a long way. A lot of TJ tends to rewire one's brain. So I will thank you for listening to this. Commend you to the Funny You Should Mention specific feed. Also, of course, mention the Gist list, where we talk about what ICE agents want to do and the investigation into Letitia James, which is very reminiscent of another investigation that I think only the Gist list has pointed out. But first, and always, TJ Miller up next. TJ Miller has played guys who ride with dragons and bears and lions and Mucus. He was great as Mucus. We loved him as Mucus. But I have seen him here at the Comedy Cellar, and he is this whirling dervish of chaos and comedy. And I tell you, it was a sight and an experience that I won't soon forget. I'm going to talk to TJ about that night and his comedy and what he's been doing. And I just found out on this season two of Funny You Should Mention, there's going to be a hot sauce and peanut butter component. TJ, welcome to The Gist and Funny You Should Mention.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
So do you think...
It is funny that you should mention.
It is funny, right? Do you think that Toledo does have a better motto than New York City for everyone? Like, for you, which motto is better?
Toledo, so it's from a joke of mine. I love this. And New York City's motto is, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere.
Right.
Is it, I was going to ask you, is it, you can make it here, you can make it anywhere? If you can make it there,
it's there. It's there. You can make it
there. If you make it there, you can make it anywhere.
Right.
And the Toledo, Ohio, theirs is Toledo, you'll do better here. Toledo has a city motto. Do you guys have a city motto, a slogan? Really cool. See, you don't need one. You're Nashville, you're cool. But the less cool cities, they have to have some sort of slogan or motto. So Toledo's is, Toledo, you'll do better here. Let's think about that for a second, okay? New York's city motto is the exact opposite of Toledo. New York is like, if you can make it here, you can make it anywhere. And Toledo... it's like, if you can't make it anywhere, you'll do better here. And that's basically the opposite.
Yeah. It doesn't admit that it's the opposite, right? It doesn't directly address the New York motto. Like, if you can't make it in New York, maybe consider Toledo.
Yeah.
But I think it is.
It's if you can't make it anywhere,
yeah,
you'll do better in Toledo.
So, but I think for some people, I think for New York, New York's motto is better. I think right. For the kind of people New York
wants
to attract.
New York?
I'm
yes.
From the New York area. And I thought that I could make
I thought that I Rhode could make Island.
It here. No, I'm from the New York area.
And Rhode Island.
What about Rhode Island?
I'm just joking. Oh, you said I'm from the New York area.
Yeah.
And I was like, you're not from New York. You might as well be from fucking Rhode Island.
Uh-huh. That's how it goes. Yeah. If I'm from Long Island, I might as well be from Rhode Island.
Where in Long Island are you from?
I'm from Oceanside. Guess where it is as relates to the ocean.
Pretty deep into the center of the island.
Yeah, it's not as close to the ocean as you would hope for a place called Oceanside. Yeah.
My father lives in Sag Harbor.
Yeah.
So East Ending it. So I go through and I play Huntington and I've done Long Beach, which is closer to
I
the
lived
beach.
In Long Beach.
Did you? And what did you think about it?
It's a community of firemen. The New York Rangers used to live there. It's pretty much on a barrier island. You do get a more of a feel for the geography than you do from some like nameless suburb where I'm from.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about you're from Denver, right?
I'm from Denver, Colorado.
Did it feel mountainous?
Michelle knows about that.
Did it feel mountainous growing up? Like, did you feel like you were of the mountains?
Yeah, I really did. I talk to Kate about it sometimes. I like to take the stairs. I'd walk up the, we're on the fifth floor. And I like to take stairs. I go, why do you think I like the stairs so much? Because you're from the mountains.
Yeah.
You're just naturally predisposed to hike.
You're a mountain man.
But yeah, everywhere, if you live in Denver, the way you figure out where you are is there are always mountains to the west that you can see.
Yeah.
And then, you know, as you grow up, you go and you do mountain things.
See, in New York, same thing, but it's not the natural environment. It used to be the World Trade Center. I guess still is different World Trade Centers. But the orientation of large buildings, it's probably different. It probably corrupts the soul a little bit.
I completely thought that you meant you used to go hiking.
Uh-huh.
And the mountain was the World Trade Center. So you would go up the stairs.
Oh, I see. That I would use that. No, what I was thinking about going up the stairs, my experience with that is I would be singing the Price is Right mountain climber song in my head while going up the stairs.
That's part of it.
Do-do-do-do-do. You know this one?
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, yeah. And then
it's
going
my morning
down,
shower soundtrack.
Going down, I would think of Plinko. So I have a couple other. I just want you to your reaction on this. And there's one big one I actually need your opinion on. Here are some other cities and their mottos or their nicknames. Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, the Switzerland of America. Does that work for Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania? I have some thoughts.
I know nothing about one of those places, and I'm not going to tell you which.
Is it JTPA?
JTPA, they call it. So she just kind of hangs out, and then...
My problem with Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, is it raises, and the Switzerland of America, it's too many moving variables, right? It raises many more questions than it answers.
I think that's true. Yeah. What first question.
Yeah.
What is Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania?
All right. So it's a town in Pennsylvania, sort of central Pennsylvania. I found out Jim Thorpe never had been there, but this guy was so famous, right? So you know about Jim Thorpe. I read a biography and talked to the author,
really?
David Marinus. He was the most famous American of the 19-teens, you know, him and maybe the president. He was unbelievably famous.
Who was he, like a Daniel Boone type of character?
He was an Olympic athlete. And they tore his medals away from him, and he was the most famous Native American athlete. And then he went to Hollywood, and just household name. Everyone had an opinion on Jim Thorpe.
And why did they tear the medals away?
Amateurism.
Couldn't they just ask them for it back?
They could. Right.
They just ripped them off goddamn neck.
They didn't even tell him beforehand.
Wait,
and he's
you
a world-class athlete, so they had to sneak up on him. And this guy's strong, yeah. Football player.
Really? Right.
So back then, you know, the Olympic ideal was you never made any money. And it turns out he's this poor Native American, fantastic at sports. And he played some amateur baseball for a while, or maybe even didn't, you know?
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania. And then they branded as the Switzerland of America.
And he never even lived there. That's like, I'm going to Keller's Comedy and Magic Club. The weekend after Christmas.
Uh-huh.
And it's the home of Harry Houdini grew up there.
So is that in Appleton, Wisconsin?
So there's that. So he actually grew up to a certain extent in Appleton, Wisconsin. But they try and claim Houdini because his mentor, Keller, who's another famous magician, did live there. So I think there's a lot of places that try and kind of, and Keller's is in Erie, Pennsylvania.
Wow.
So it's not even in the same state as where Houdini. And did you know this? In Appleton, he only lived there for like 3 years.
Is that right?
When he was a baby.
Yeah.
So he never even really did magic there. But so like Jim Thorpe, it's like these towns are just like, we like that guy.
Yeah. But also, I mean, if you're New York, right? Uh-huh. And you have... I was thinking about this the other day. New York has the United Nations in it. When was the last time a New Yorker thought about the United Nations? I guess technically it's the most important body internationally.
Well, what happens is we all forget about it and we forget about it. And then they all convene here and the traffic is totally fucked.
Yes.
And then everybody, the extent that we talk about the United Nations, everybody goes, God, it's traffic. It's fucking terrible. And then someone goes, well, it's the UN, the United Nations. And we go, oh, that's right. But none of us knew they were coming.
Right.
So we just go, oh, yeah. I forgot it was that time of year. We have no idea. As soon as the traffic clears up, I've never even heard anybody say, well, there's not much traffic. Well, the UN's gone.
Right. No one ever gives a credit. Wow, I flew up the East Side. It turns out the Security Council is not in session.
And even you wouldn't think of like, well, I think the UN's gone.
Right.
But I don't take a lot of cars.
Mm-hmm.
And so I could see that happening more, but it's really my sample bias.
This is a good point. But also, I think the UN probably knows it runs into the no one gives a credit problem in terms of peace, right? So if there is a lack of war in Rwanda, as there has been for the last 20 years, no one says, well, you know, the UN gets some credit. They only get blame.
That's what you're
saying in the car context, but it even
but
is
you're
global.
Right. It's a peace thing.
Yes.
You know?
But the reason I raised the UN is we are in New York. We have hundreds and hundreds of famous institutions. We don't have to reach for Houdini. If you're in the Fox River Valley of Wisconsin, like that's all you got. If Houdini was there for 3 years, you run with it.
Yeah, you really do. They have a museum.
Yeah.
Screw it.
What's his name? Eric Schwartz. Was that his name? Pre-Houdini? It's a better name, I think.
Oh, who was he before?
Yeah.
Like, what was his name?
I think that.
I don't remember, but it was not good at all. So he made that disappear quickly. that's the magician rim shot.
You're a magician.
No, I'm a juggler, but I do know some magic. And yesterday I was looking at bicycle cards, mm-hmm. like the brand Bicycle, because somehow I got on their fucking mailing list. And they sell some pretty cool playing cards that are magic decks. And some of her is the, it's like a short deck.
Yeah.
And the other one is a stripped deck, and you can do all of the card tricks with those two decks. But then they have one and it's a blurry deck. I'm thinking about getting that and getting that for, there's this guy who has a podcast called Legion of Skanks. His name is Louis J. Guzman.
Yes.
And he, hey, I don't think we need any giggling for the peanut gallery over there, Mike. So he, but he's, so he's this like Puerto Rican kind of gangster vibes is what he's trying to do. He's also a magician.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And so his father killed someone or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And then now he's like, okay, pick a card. Any of these cards. Now don't show me your card. So it's funny to see him kind of be a dork. So I was thinking of getting him one of those for Christmas. But I would like to do that one because the trick is that the cards become blurry when you look at them.
Uh-huh. How does his father killing someone, though, figure into all that?
Because
it's an interesting life detail, for sure.
Because the juxtaposition between a Puerto Rican gangster whose father is a murderer.
Right.
And a magic dork.
Yeah.
Is very vast.
Yes. And therein lies comedy.
It's the Grand Canyon. It's the it's the Jonathan Sharp Thornton. I don't even remember.
Did I got another we could get off this, but I saw this and I needed your opinion on this motto for a city.
No, I like it.
Auburn, Washington, more than you imagined.
Oh, definitely.
Good one. Good motto.
That's the greatest motto because I've never imagined anything.
No one
about
has. Yeah. So it is true.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of places like Dayton, Ohio.
Yeah.
Better than you expected.
Oh, Jesus.
I think that, but I'm saying that's not their slogan, but that could apply to so many places.
It is. I think Pittsburgh's better
Durango,
than you expected.
Durango, Colorado. Better than you expected. But Pittsburgh people, well, I guess maybe you would think, do you think that people don't expect much from that city?
Here's the problem with these cities,
that's
right?
It's one of my favorite cities.
It is, but all of these cities will never have the presence of mind to call themselves that because they're, I'm not saying high in their own supply, but they're living their own lives thinking Pittsburgh's great or thinking Auburn's great mostly or thinking Dayton's great. They don't realize everyone else doesn't share their opinion. So it's good that Auburn is meeting the public where it is.
I don't think Dayton thinks that they're that great.
They don't? They had the Wright brothers. That was pretty good.
Yeah, I just think they still are like, maybe Fort Wayne is the best example of that.
Uh-huh. It is
Fort Wayne is my favorite place for a few reasons, but I did comedy there and it's great.
They had an NBA team at
the
one
audiences
point.
Are great. You know a lot about a lot of things, don't you?
But I think if I say it, you have
true, Michelle? Very much. Oh, boy. Whoa, shots fired from the wife who just said that he can't get his shit together in all the important ways. But knows everything about nothing
well,
that
look,
matters.
Let's say there was a potential fire and I could either avoid it by shutting off the stove or knowing that the Detroit Pistons once played in Fort Wayne. Like if it was the Fort Wayne thing, I'd save the house. So I think it's 50-50. They're both equally important.
Because you never know. There can be an arsonist who's like, where did the Detroit Pistons play?
Right.
So
where does the current minor league basketball team, the Fire Ants, base its home? And then I would know, and it's fire related. So I think it works.
It does. Where do they base their?
They're at Fort Wayne also.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Fort Wayne is a rich basketball. Indiana, you know, they love basketball.
Yeah, that's true. But that's so. Anyway, everyone I talked to in Fort Wayne when I was there was so funny because I'd be like, what are you doing out there? You know, how long have you been here? Like, well, I moved here. But what do you think of Fort Wayne? And they go, it's kind of boring. You know, there's really nothing to do. Like, really? Nothing? They go, well, we have like five or six bars, really, that anyone goes to. And so people will go there, you know. And I'm like, and do you guys like go anywhere travel-wise? And they're like, no, not really. I mean, sometimes people drive here, but like we don't drive. And I keep asking questions. And eventually I just get to like, okay, so why do you live here?
Yes.
And everybody's answer was the same. They're like, well, you know, cost of living. And then I looked at it and also I talked to a kid. I go, how much, what is your cost of living? People keep mentioning it. And he was like, well, I live in like a three bedroom house with like a backyard. And every month I pay $485. And I was like, what? He was like, yeah, $485. I was like, are you fucking serious? Dude, what I come to understand is that if you go there, you could theoretically make enough money for the month driving Uber for like a week and a half.
Right.
And then the rest of your month is sort of, and if you actually work like a real person, like with a salary and stuff, and you have to go to work every week, you're just rich.
Yeah.
You kind of can go and buy everybody all the drinks that you want.
At all six bars. To think that you have that lifestyle and six bars available to you and a comedy club that books TJ Miller?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I think the comedy club was like the big, big thing there. Because obviously they can't get any, theater or anything like that. And I think the music, no big concert would come there. But they actually get some cool kind of smaller bands come through, I'm sure. And you go there. And I mean, the beers were like $4 and stuff. And they would do this thing where they would be like, the one bar that I went to.
So you went to a third of the bars.
I went to one third of the bars. Yeah. He's quick with math too. But she's quicker. She already listed five things that you're shit at as a husband. So I went there and go, hey, you know, how much is a bucket of beer? I think they were like, it's like $15. And I was like, for a six pack of beer?
Right.
And then they're like, yeah, sure. But their food, people eat a lot of food there because it's Indiana, but also it's not super expensive.
Yeah.
But then they're living in this like financial ecosystem that doesn't quite make sense for America. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
It kind of feels like
it's like Bulgarian or something.
Feels more Eastern European, but in Eastern Europe, I don't think they make I don't think there's a minimum wage in some of those places. So I don't think, but somebody did say that to me once. I said, it was this Russian. I only met one Russian who I've liked, I think, ever.
Mm-hmm.
And this particular Russian, God, I hate coffee.
Well, you put a little water in it.
Yeah, I know. That's why, because I hate it.
Oh, okay.
I don't like, but I gotta, I fast, like not like intermittent fasting, but I don't really eat until I'm hungry. It's kind of what I've been doing lately.
It's kind of smart.
And you kind of need to be, also coffee, I guess, is a miracle drug for your liver.
Uh-huh. Let's say.
I thought that was really interesting that there are so many studies that say that drinking coffee is really great for your liver. But I think the reason it's great, it doesn't do anything really other than it just speeds up your metabolism. And your
so it's
whole
who
body.
You are and making you a little more of that, not changing your personality.
What, coffee?
Yeah, I think.
For who?
For people, humans.
Maybe.
Fort Wayne residents.
Well, Fort Likeable Wayne residents. Russians. But you know how much this costs in Fort Wayne?
Well, how much?
You get paid 35 cents to drink it.
It'd be crazy not
That's
to.
How.
Let's catch our breaths. Well, me and you, maybe not TJ. We'll be back in a minute with more of TJ Miller. And we're back with TJ Miller. All right, let's have at it. Let's keep going. Here's TJ.
Oh, on the coffee thing.
Yeah.
I have a brain injury, traumatic brain injury.
Yeah.
And one of the effects of having that injury and the brain surgery to my right frontal lobe is that I don't feel tired.
Right. So I was thinking of that when you said I eat when I'm hungry, but what about sleeping? Do you sleep when you're tired, but you don't feel tired?
I don't ever feel tired.
So what's the stimulus? And I've watched a couple other interviews with you. What's the stimulus you use to tell yourself, I have to go to sleep?
I had to go to a neuropsychologist for this in part, but if I have physical signs, I was about to say symptoms.
Symptoms of tiredness.
By physical symptoms of an illness I call fatigue. Then I sort of go, okay, I'm yawning, my eyes are itching, or this, I'm maybe a little bit of balance stuff or something like that. And then I'll say, okay, it's time to kind of lie down. And I'll go to sleep once I kind of get in position.
Mm-hmm. Falling asleep, I fall asleep when tired, and when not tired, I can't fall asleep. but you don't get tired. Does falling asleep comport with, align with when you should be tired, or can you fall asleep even when you're well rested or when another person who hasn't had as much sleep as you had would be tired?
Thank you for saying aligned after comporting.
Okay.
Because I think it could have been possible that I had no idea what comporting meant.
I try to do some synonyms in a row.
Yeah, it's not condescending at all.
Okay.
I mean, Michelle knows.
TJ.
In an intellectual conversation.
This isn't condescension. It's just I sometimes reach for words.
I'm being facetious. I'm kidding around.
What do you mean by? Okay.
I'm joking.
lower. Yeah, ha-has. Yeah, you're doing the ha-has? Okay.
I'm making ooh of
you're
you.
Tickling my funny bone.
Yeah. I just try and get better. For years, I found, you know, that cheat code of kind of drinking until you're fatigued and then you'll sort of pass out. And red wine can kind of do it. If you get blasted as I did throughout my 20s, that'll really do it. And then I think in California, I said, well, I'm going to smoke some marijuana. It's not frustrating, but it's so ridiculous that what I found after I started working with a neuropsychologist is you can also just lie down and close your eyes.
Oh,
how about that, Michelle? And so that's been really interesting to try and do. But part of the issue is also I'm sort of prone to mania. And so once I get in that mode, I'm kind of working and I'm out and I know. So I've never really been at like a party and been like, oh, I'm tired. I feel like when people do cocaine when they're drinking,
yeah,
they're trying to do the thing that is just my neutral gear. And so that balance for me is very different. I've never done cocaine because it wouldn't make sense for what I'm trying to get out of a drug. And that's why I don't really like coffee, because it doesn't make me, but I'm just like, okay, wow, this is a little bit more than I really needed it to be, because I was already in sort of a position where I was kind of like, oh boy, what is comporting mean? And if I can't figure out whether or not it aligns with my belief system, then I don't know exactly what I'm going to do, but I'm going a little bit fast. I think I really got to slow it down. Perhaps I should have a heaping helping of Guinness. And right. So that's kind of a little bit too much for me. But I think that the sleeping thing, kind of the mania thing, sort of that added with my father and his Protestant work ethic, I really work a lot. Like I do too much. Like
TJ, I happen to know though, that when you don't get your sleep, you don't just get cranky. The mania kicks in, right?
That's true. I can become hypomanic, but it is interesting to try and weigh those two things in the sense of, I did a writing meeting. It would be Monday. In the morning, I think Sunday and then Monday in the morning. And then after doing a writing meeting for like 5 hours or something, then I went to the editing room and edited for 8 hours.
Yeah.
So that's you're better at math than I am, but that's like a 13-hour day. And then the next day, you just kind of get up and do it again. And so I spend a lot of time with a very, very packed schedule, and you get a lot of work done. But you're right. Sometimes it skirts this kind of, and the biggest thing to do is sort of try and do one of the things that I have. Is this the one where it says, yeah, it is. Hold on one second. So a traumatic brain injury in the right frontal lobe. I keep this.
Go ahead.
On my wallpaper.
So this is what you had. You had this AVM, right? The arteriovenous
malformation.
Oh, the M is a malformation.
Yeah, but it is a mass.
Yeah, it's like the wires.
Yeah, you go. I mean, they don't give you any wine.
Yeah.
Well, they'll give you a cracker, Mike. Jesus Christ! And so the arteriovenous malformation hemorrhage in 2010, while I was shooting a major motion picture, Michelle's favorite. Yogi Bear 3D. Mike, are you getting all this?
Yes.
She's team boo-boo. I just want you to know.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You're not going to get as much out of the picnic basket, though. Probably be left with a half-eaten peach and a goddamn bowl of honey. And they aren't going to leave any honey for boo-boo. That little fuck. Fuck him.
Wow. You heard it here.
Give him a good long pegging.
TJ vows never to work with Boo Boo again.
That was a callback. Yeah, no. I'm not vowing not to work with anybody ever again. I am only
TJ
vowing
vows
to
work with anyone who wants to work with him ever again.
Where did
again.
That take a U-turn? That was very interesting.
So you have on your phone what the left lobe
it's
controls?
A right, it was on
what
the right side.
You had
I had brain surgery in 2010. Roughly at the same time that it hemorrhaged, pretty soon after, not exactly soon after. And so, get away. And so.
Well, I'll read you on my phone.
No. It's an absolute frustration. So what happened was it's a technological frustration. You were anything but a frustration. You were a pleasure.
Thank you, sir.
And you're a real comportment.
I feel
to all the feelings that I've had about how well this is going. And usually I compartmentalize, podcasts and what happens in them. But for me, you've comported completely.
I've done the full comportment.
It's ubiquitous.
Well, thank you.
And so I got this surgery and it's really interesting because now I work with, I go to brain neurological conferences with neurosurgeons and the people that make the equipment is very interesting. I made a close friend who works and they put these coils in through your veins and they're these almost hair thin, they are really, really, really small.
Like gossamer thin.
Yeah, kind of. I mean, I wouldn't say that because it sounds a little.
No, not the thumb at the end.
But the gossamer, but yes, gossamer thin. And so I learned all about that stuff. But since kind of going there, I've kind of learned much about my own condition and other brain injuries. And one of the things that they say, there's a thing we say as patients after patient care is, I have an invisible disability.
Okay.
So strangely, if you told me why are you here late? And I don't understand how you can't remember my name. I just saw you last week and we made these plans. That is the equivalent. I know this sounds insane. That is the equivalent of seeing somebody in a wheelchair and being like, stand up and come over here.
Right.
Just walk. Why don't you just walk over here and then we'll talk it through. And so it's very strange. So there's two things that means is TBI survivors, they call traumatic brain injury survivors, as they also call it. I think that's interesting. But we can hide our disability because I look like anybody else. I don't look like if I didn't tell you that, then you would just be like, this guy has a tough time putting himself together.
Right. I too have on my phone a description of what the left and right cortices were.
Yeah. Let's say you want to tell what each of them do.
Yeah. Well,
that's interesting.
This is why I was thinking about you and I was researching your condition. And by the way, it's invisible, but it's also invisible to you. It was for a while invisible to you and affecting your life. And survivor, I think, is apt, right? Didn't they tell you if you didn't get the surgery, you would maybe live to 30s?
Yeah, mid-30s. And I was 30 when they did it. But that's okay. I asked them, I go, what'll happen if I don't get it? Because they said it's elective. You don't have to get it. They go, you'll probably die in your mid-30s. And I go, okay. And what did you say about the fatality rate? It goes, 1 out of 10 people die. It's a 10% fatality
rate. The surgery itself, 1 out of 10
Yeah, which when
die.
I say that, people are like, but I think that's pretty good odds.
Yeah.
If it was 1 out of 5 people, then I think I would have been like, but 1 out of 10 ain't bad, is what I thought.
But if there were like 10 people in the waiting room, it would be a little more real. Like you
might
look
be
around
awkward.
And you're saying, oh shit.
One of us isn't making it out of here, and I think it's that guy. And then they're like, TJ, that's a mirror. And I'm like, oh shit. Mike. Yipes, Mike. Yikes stripes, fruit Mike gum. Mike's stripes, fruit stripe gum.
Which I thought is the gum that loses its flavor the quickest.
I think that's true.
And they're making up for something. Yeah, like they couldn't get the technology down.
I liked Warheads. They were like Warheads with a chewy, almost like around it.
Yeah.
But I guess Lemonheads are kind of like that. And I thought Lemonheads to me were always in that era. Yikes, Stripes, Fruit Stripe gum. I was like, this is the worst. It's on that spectrum. And Lemonheads were the best. And Warheads was kind of not in the middle, but closer to the sour. Are you a sour guy or a sweet guy?
I'm definitely a sour guy.
I can tell that about you.
But then I stopped.
And that's a negative thing.
Then I stopped being a sour guy and I soured.
Cut it out, Michelle.
I soured on sours, but yeah. I didn't become sweet. So like I'm a neutral guy. I'm more of a texture.
You can catch more sweets than a sour with a B. So what do you think?
So this is what I want to tell you about your
I forgot
because
we're having so much fun. I said, so 10% fatality rate. If I get it, if I don't, I might die in my mid 30s. Because yeah, I go, if I get the surgery, will I still be funny?
Right.
And he was like, what? And I was like, Mike, you remember this. And I was like, well, will I still be funny? He goes, I don't know. You could tell he was just like, I've never gotten this question. And I said, well, that's kind of what I do. That's what gives me purpose. That's, you know, it's just what I do. It's what I love. It's how I make a living. He was like, well, I don't think you're really using that part of your brain before. So yeah, I guess he'll still be funny. I was like, let's do it. Roll the dice. I'm a gambling man, which is true. But only craps.
Uh-huh.
The house doesn't have the edge. And yeah, see, now I've had coffee.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
You've had 4.5 drops of coffee.
Here, and it's watered down coffee, for Christ's sake. That shows you. So that was the one thing. And then the second thing that I've learned is when the air hits your brain, it's never the same. That's a big thing. In the neurological community, in neuroscience, and there's actually a book, I haven't read it yet, and that's the name of the book, and it's the guy who...
The name of the book is When the Air Hits Your Brain, It's Never the Same?
It's never the same.
That's not a lyric from That's Amore, that's an actual book name.
When the air hits your brain, that's a big fucking pain, that's a brain, that's a cranium. Yeah, that's true. Amore, cranamore. Yeah. And so brain surgery is actually a traumatic brain injury. A traumatic brain injury on the right frontal lobe can lead to a variety of side effects, as the frontal lobe is crucial for many cognitive functions. Common side effects include cognitive impairments, issues with attention. You seen any of that during the podcast? Memory.
Booking the podcast.
Memory. What is the name of this podcast? And problem solving. Ready for this?
Yeah.
You might find it harder to plan, organize, or make decisions. So when you guys were like, oh, he had to cancel and he wasn't able to schedule everything, you were being ableist.
Yeah, exactly as if you were in a wheelchair. We're like, we're on the third floor. It's a third floor walk.
It's like my favorite thing right now is ageism.
Uh-huh.
Because as white men, we never got to complain about any prejudice against us.
Yeah.
Soon as you turn 40,
yeah,
all these goddamn kids are being like, okay, boomer, you still have the shutter sound on your camera? Well, fuck you. You can't do this. This is Trump's America.
Because of
number two,
Joe Biden's ageism.
Behavioral changes. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Increased impulsivity. That's the only reason he didn't win. He was older than Trump. And this is an ageist society.
Yep.
Behavioral changes. Increased impulsivity. He didn't even run, by the way. Increased
impulsivity. Tried to, but as an aged man, he stumbled. Yes.
I love him. Increased impulsivity. Was that a joke about his eyelids look heavy? Guys, I don't want to talk about that right now. Okay. Behavioral changes. Increased impulsivity.
Yeah.
Risk-taking behavior. Having more than half a cup of coffee. Or difficulty inhibiting inappropriate actions.
No, this is what happens after a surgery, you're saying. Some consequence.
Yeah, or just any injury to the right frontal lobe. This is what can happen.
But you were living with that, right? You were living with an injured right frontal lobe.
No, that's what's strange. So I was living with a malformation. So I had less mass in my brain that was working. So the malformation, which they removed, was a golf ball sized piece of my brain.
Right.
And that just was not functioning. It was malformed. And so the rest of my brain, my theory is this is why I was more manic and always moving faster. And it's helped me in improvisation. But the plasticity of the brain made it so that I fully developed as a regular human being. And any of the cognitive deficits I had were sort of made up for with other parts of my
brain.
Your
left brain strengths made up for your right brain weaknesses.
And maybe part of my parietal lobe picked up like language stuff, whatever it is.
This is my exact question. So a second ago, you did a riff on how fast you talked with coffee, and 99% of people couldn't do that. When I think about the comedy that I've seen you do, it absolutely comports with having a really, really well-developed left brain.
Good to see you. What's that? Let's have intercourse in the alley. I dare you to. I won't do it. I'm married and I'm having intercourse with her in the alley later. You can watch, but it's going to cost you a pita bread. My God. Are you from here? Everyone's talked about it. No? Golly. You look like you dress like you thought New York wanted you to. This fucking guy has a tuft of blonde tip hair coming out of the backwards hat. It's not even a snapback. It's one of those weird dad hats where you unclip it and then decide how long it'll be. And then he clipped it and he was like, fuck it, Big Apple. Let's go!
I don't want to be rude, but it's computes.
Ah!
It absolutely computes.
I'm just computing out this information.
Yeah!
But here...
But you're so quick also. But it's true that I have, less brain mass than Mike or you, or maybe not you, but I...
like normal people. Yeah.
But it's so... I think it kind of moves faster. I think that's really helped me in life. Of course, my neurologist, I told him that. He's like, I don't think that that's... I don't agree with
but
that.
But it does say here.
It's like, well, what are you, a world-class neurologist at Cedars-Sinai in Los Angeles?
Do you ever just...
Dr. Stokel?
Do you ever just piss him off and say, what are you, a rocket scientist? And he's like, no, I'm a brain scientist. That's the idiom you need to hit.
Well, what's great is it is brain surgery.
What is it? Brain... Yes, it
but
is
But it's brain- funny because I've said to brain surgeons, because now I know a bunch of brain surgeons, I've been like, well, I mean, it's not rocket science.
Yeah, that's it. It would be funny? Awesome if you said that in Grand Central Station.
Arrogant. And I tell them the joke about it. And I go, in neurosurgeons, in terms of the most powerful beings on the planet, it goes, neurosurgeons, God. And then neurosurgeons again.
Yeah, they make
the
really?
List. Two out of three ain't bad.
Yeah.
And they love that. And then they go, well, it's kind of true. They really, you have to be so megalomaniacal.
Right.
To be a neurosurgeon, because it's the hardest. And then once you get in and you lose patients as much as cardiologists, but they think that cardiologists think they're the best, but they're kind of like, I mean, it's the hard brain,
a neuroscientist is essentially God. I know we maybe think surgeons are God because they control life and death, but a neuroscientist controls your personality, your soul, your intellect. That's what God does. They could go in there and change what we call the soul.
Sure, if you believe in God.
I just believe in neurosurgery.
Emotional changes, mood swings.
Yeah.
Irritability.
Uh-huh.
Lack of emotional expression. Some people may experience depression or anxiety. Here's a weird one. And then the other, like motor function disabilities and speech and language issues. Emotional expression. Here's a weird one with that. I find it difficult to connect with emotions in general. And I'm sure a lot of men are like this, but I sometimes have trouble connecting with it. So what I'll do is drinking can kind of help, but more effective is watching movies. And I think that's maybe why I was always so connected to that, is I had trouble sort of connecting with emotions. And so to sort of have them, I'll watch things that have those cues in them.
So you train yourself by watching movies. This is what a human being does in this situation. Therefore, maybe that's what I should do.
Kind of. Yeah. Or they're feeling this thing, so I could feel this thing. And I also have a tough time putting myself in other people's shoes, which I think has helped me, because I don't really give a shit about what other people think about me, or at least I don't spend a lot of time on it.
Right.
And I think that can come off, though, as, wow, he really doesn't give a fuck, which is true. I think it also has come off in my past as he doesn't care. So he could care less about this or that. And they're two very different things. Because if you truly don't give a fuck, that's really freeing and allows you to care.
Does it make it hard to work in a group?
No, because I started off as an improviser and I always had fun. And
but you're so quick. Maybe that makes up for the group dynamic. I don't know.
Maybe. Or yeah. In a show like Silicon Valley, maybe they were all like, God, this guy's a real bombastic asshole. And then that was exactly the character I was playing.
Thank you for meeting with us. We have a bunch of these things to go to, hopefully with more tasteful artwork. And your logo looks like a sideways vagina. I find that to be racist, don't you?
But also, you weren't getting any sleep during Silicon Valley.
No, because I was doing stand-up after 14 or 16 hours of shooting.
And as we've established, when you don't get sleep, this has these add-on effects. I think it was probably a bad period for you.
He kind of has a bit of a vibe of like a Jewish grandmother.
Uh-huh.
Like not
have
a
some
mother.
Soup.
Yeah, kind of that. But not even that. It's like, it's more like, I think but it's you not that kind, but the kind that's like, well, you know.
Yeah.
When you don't have a little bit of soup on a day like this,
this
you
is
can
what
get
happens.
Pretty sick.
What yeah. am I saying?
If tomorrow you've got sniffles and I'm buying Kleenex,
I'm
maybe
just
you should listen. You're right. It's just, it's all balance. I have a psychologist, a neuropsychologist, a psychiatrist, a neurologist, a mindfulness therapist. Like I have a battery of psychological professionals that are there to sort of keep me in my guardrails. But yeah, I mean, it also leads to a fair amount of success. So
it
that's
does.
Kind of,
this is what I wanted to ask. When you're asking your doctor, will I still be funny? The consideration is, will I lose my funniness? But I do think there's a theory, and I know since you're smart, you've thought about this, that what made you the talent and person you are today is the fact that the left frontal lobe, which has to make up for the deficits in your right frontal lobe, generally manages, I'm quoting here, language-related functions, positive emotions, and assessing novel situations. So it seems to
That's really interesting. Is that true?
Yes.
I never really looked at it. I'm more of a right brain guy.
Then when you're worried about losing your sense
of
humor.
Is it an existential
Yeah. What, do
question.
We even have free will?
Your
Are
question.
You the sum of your neurology? Certainly not. You worked on your skill. You have personality.
Well, I'd never
you made
seen
choices.
That. Even, I'd never seen that because from a language perspective, I have just three quarters of the vocabulary that you have. And it's been hard for me to sit across from you and just see a human goddamn thesaurus.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe not a dictionary.
No.
And maybe not always using the right word or the most appropriate. But certainly a guy who has a word a day calendar in every room of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going through and tearing them off.
Looking
them
in
up.
The air.
Yeah, sure. Throw them towards the stove.
Yeah.
It's not on.
We hope.
Might be.
That'll be good.
But where the fucking Pistons play, mama. So I think, you know, I basically aced the English the English part of my SATs.
Yeah.
I'm really fast with language for sure. And what were the other two? I'm really learning something on the podcast today. I didn't think that was going to happen.
It says can inhabit both lions and mucus.
Mm-hmm. Inhibit.
Inhibit.
It's pronounced inhibit.
It's Roy Hibbert, who actually played for the... No. Okay.
It's pronounced Hubert.
Do you like a certain amount of chaos?
J. Edgar Hubert.
Do you like a certain amount of chaos in your comedy and in the audiences who show up to the comedy?
I mean, I'm good at, and this is a great segue into talking about the time that you saw me on stage at the Comedy Cellar.
I'll tell you about that. A lot of stand-ups, right? They want you to laugh, but they really, really want to control the room. They'll do crowd work,
but they define
it pretty tightly. I don't think you're like Theo Von.
Is very famous for sort of really not tolerating people who are interrupting the show. And I always think about how someone like Nate Bargatze just doesn't even want to do that. They're up there to sort of present. But then Norm MacDonald, sort of the greatest of all time, I found out that he was happy to come off of his jokes and riff with the crowd. And I think that's like one of the best tests of a great comedian is to allow the audience to be, I don't know how to say this, but in charge of where you go, but you're still in charge of them. I'm thankful to be here. I'm thankful for being with all of you guys. I'm thankful that Germany, it didn't work.
didn't end up working for you guys. Even Merkel's trying to take over Europe with, she realized bullets and bombs don't work, so she's using banks. Putting the Greeks in indentured servitude. Anyway, how was your guys' Thanksgiving? I'm messing with you. I do wish that you were systematically destroyed. Here's the thing, guys. I'm teasing with you. You gotta listen, if you come to America, you gotta... Oh, you guys aren't German?
No.
You're Canadian? You look fucking German. You guys need to... you're the problem, but the two of you... The two of you need to stop dressing like Germans. This is crazy. They're both wearing horn-rimmed glasses, and they're just looking at me like, hey. Whenever you go to get your drinks, you're like...
I'm really an improviser at my heart. Like, that's sort of what my skill set is. And so I'm much more likely to do well by going on stage and just working the material on stage.
Right.
Because it's still, even when it's in the early stages, it's still funny. It's just not hitting where I want it to be. But it's a very strange thing where, like, I think part of that is I don't really know where my material comes from. Like, when I'm building a new hour, I'm just sort of like, all right, I'm going to riff. And then all of a sudden I'll be like, whoa, I have a chunk and it's on like race and social satire and kind of poking fun at woke culture, but also poking fun at, you know, I mean, and then that's that chunk. And then I realized that I have a couple of jokes, now three, that are almost mime. Like, all the comedy is completely physical.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. So maybe I'll build a couple more things like that. And pretty soon, before you know it, I have 20 minutes. So then I'm saying, all right, well, let's actually really try and fill out the next 20 minutes. But that'll be largely improvised as well. So yeah, everything starts from improvisation. And eventually, everything will end with improvisation.
T.J. Miller, his mania, his output might just damn and doom him, but man, does it lead to a delicious and delightful amount of content and comportment in the world. T.J., thank you very much.
And podcasting, thank you so much.
Thank you. That's it for today's show. Just is produced by Corey Wara and CBSO, Michelle Pesca, Umpru G Peru, Du Peru, and thanks for listening.